The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Loads of news from America to discuss with Cal Thomas and first Marion McKeown. What's going on at the Trump trial?
Well, good evening, Matt. The defense lawyer, Todd Blanche, just finished what I thought was a really bizarre and not entirely effective closing argument for Donald Trump. It looks like he's going to be corrected by the judge on at least one thing that he raised. And it basically, to me, it left, the jury has now gone for lunch. They wrapped up about 20 minutes ago. And after lunch, the prosecution comes, because in New York, the prosecution delivers their closing argument after the defence, which is a big advantage because it means they can go after every point the defence made and hammer them on it. And Josh Steinlass, the prosecution guy, is particularly effective. He's a very, very good lawyer. So Todd Blanche got up there and he made this top 10 list of reasons you shouldn't. It was like Trump dictated this defence. I got the impression, this closing argument. 10 reasons you shouldn't convict Donald Trump. It's like, you know, sort of a silly list. Half of them make no sense at all. And then he really went after Michael Cohen. He called him the gloat, the greatest liar of all time. Like, again, all this kind of gimmicky stuff. But this is a sophisticated jury. This is a jury with MFA people on it, with finance experts, with engineers, you know, and it just seemed a bit of a dumbed down summing up to me. And the thing that he did that I think was a big flaw, he went after Cohen repeatedly. He called him a liar 20-something times. But he didn't address any of the corroborating evidence, because this does not just hang on Michael Cohen. They have the receipts, they have the documents, they have the checks signed by Trump. They have David Pecker, who to me was the strongest witness in the whole thing, coming in at the very beginning and saying, yeah, I had an agreement with Trump. I told him that, and, you know, we sat around 2015, I would catch and kill all these stories. I think that would damage him. I'd get rid of it. I'd bury it. And so what this guy, Todd Blanche, is trying to say is that Trump knew nothing about anything Michael Cohen did, that Michael Cohen went off on his own bat and got $130,000 of his own money, paid it, never told Trump about it, even though there was this really bizarre circuitous route to get the money paid back, where Keith Schiller, the bodyguard, had to go to the White House, pick up the checks, bring them back, get them to Cohen. You know, none of it, I thought, made sense. And I think that he's left so many openings for the prosecution to nail him over and over. And then he said, which was really improper, and Todd Blanche is a former prosecutor, he said, you can't send a man to prison on the word of Michael Cohen. You cannot raise that in a closing speech. You cannot mention prison, because prison, for starters, it's extraordinarily unlikely that Trump will go to prison anyway, but it's just improper. And the judge said that he would issue a curative statement to the jury and tell them to disregard that, and he told Blanche that he should know better, and okay, you know, pretty well chastised him for that.
And yet, Cal Thomas, is it likely that Donald Trump will survive this on the basis that all he needs is one member of the jury to disagree with the rest, if the rest were minded to convict, and then you will actually have no conviction?
Well, it's difficult to read any juror's mind. Although you saw in the initial selection of the juries that most of them get their news from the liberal New York Times and CNN. So that tells you something as to their point of view.
Well, sorry, Carl, it suggests that they want reliable sources of information.
Come on, Marion got 3 minutes uninterrupted. Please don't do that to me. Let me finish my thought, and then you can object to it, as Marion will as well.
Go on, Soka.
Is it my turn now?
It is.
Thank you. I think Jonathan Turley, the George Washington University professor, had it right today when he writes in the New York Post, this case has no leg to stand on, and he's not alone. Alan Dershowitz, the famously liberal Harvard emeritus professor and scholar, says much the same. And many others have as well, liberal and conservative. As far as a hung jury is concerned, I think that is a possible outcome. The big question for me is, if there is a hung jury, will the prosecution try Donald Trump again? Which I think would outrage a lot of his supporters even more than they're outraged now, and cost the state and city of New York considerable time and money to do it all over again.
But Cal, isn't it the case that Donald Trump wins no matter what the outcome is? Because if he's acquitted, he can crow about it and he'd be delighted and he can bang on about how the crooked establishment took it on, but the people decided that he was innocent. If it's a hung jury, he'll do much the same. They couldn't get a majority to convict me. Or even if he's convicted, he'll bang on that this was just the establishment doing him down, that this is an example of why the people need to re-elect him to make sure that there'll be no further persecution, because he knows that even if he is to be found guilty, there isn't a hope in hell that he will be sent to prison.
Well, let's remember this is an election year, and when you have an election year, everything is colored by politics. There's been information leaked out of the White House that President Biden is getting ready, after the decision, especially if it's a conviction, to make a statement on this case. And if there is a conviction on one or more charges, clearly he's going to say, look, I'm running against a convicted felon. Do we want to elect a convicted felon for the first time in the history of the United States? So all of this stuff is covered by politics. If Trump is acquitted or there's a hung jury, sure, he's going to make political hay of it, just as President Biden will if he is convicted of any of these charges.
Well, are you saying that President Joe Biden should say nothing if his predecessor and the person who was contesting the next presidency gets a criminal conviction?
No, he can say anything he wants. It's a free country, last I checked. I'm just saying it's a political year, and everything is tainted by politics in a political year. Both sides, Republicans and Democrats, so it has always been.
Do you think it would suit Joe Biden if Trump was to be convicted, Marion? Because isn't it also going to allow Trump to play the martyr?
Well, yes and no, but can I just pick up on a couple of things there? I agree with Cal. There, you know, the fact that I thought this was a very weak closing argument in a lot of ways does not mean Trump will be convicted. I do not think Trump will be acquitted by the 12 jurors. I think that's pretty certain, but I think there's a whole range of things in between that could happen. I think he might be convicted on some of the charges. The jury might say, well, he didn't create those Michael Cohen invoices, so we can't convict him on that. We don't know. You know, they may convict him on like maybe 20 of the 34 charges. They may find that just, you know, there's any number of things. And a couple of the jurors, and in fact, Cal, I know you mentioned the New York Times, but we know that some of the jurors read Truth Social. Some of them get their news from Fox News as well. So it's a mixed jury. And I think that there's plenty of room. I would be amazed if, not amazed, but I think it's not entirely likely that he will be convicted on all charges. I think that there's something in between is more likely, and we'll see where that goes. And I think then there may be appeals. But I think for Biden, look, you know, Trump goes after Biden and on everything he can get and on things that are not true in a lot of cases, all the nonsense about him being involved in corruption with Ukraine and all that. I think it's fair game. If you're running against a convicted felon, of course you're going to exploit it. I'm not sure. Look, I think that there are people who will just feel a little bit, you know, if they're voting for a convicted felon, if Trump is convicted on some charges, I just think that they won't want to do that. But I think it'll make all of Trump's voters and supporters even more motivated. But they're already motivated anyway. I don't think Trump wins anything from this. I really don't.
Okay. Cal, tell us about the heckling and booing that Donald Trump experienced, but it seems to his shock and horror, at the Libertarian National Convention in Washington last Saturday night.
Yes, well, he's going where a lot of people have not gone before. Last week he went to the Bronx in New York, a very heavily Democratic and major minority area, and then he goes into the Libertarian Convention. He got lots of boos and catcalls and name-calling. He, I think, cynically promised to appoint libertarians to his administration if he gets reelected, which, you know, sounds a lot like what the right accuses the left of doing, and virtue signaling and all of these other things. But he's not used to getting booed, and, you know, he claimed that he was more a libertarian than anything else, but it depends on the day. You know, he didn't used to be a conservative, he didn't used to be pro-life, he didn't used to be, but he is all of those things now. But we never hear from him what is responsible for his supposed convictions, no pun intended, on some of these issues.
Okay, Marion, who are the libertarians and why did they get so het up with Trump?
Well, the libertarians are basically a sort of, they compose about 3% of the electorate, and Trump, they would sort of track Trump on a number of things. They're very against intervention in foreign wars. They're very protectionist. They're very America first in a number of ways. But they don't want any laws against drugs. They don't want a Federal Reserve. They don't want... One of the things Trump said that was the ultimate pander on that was that he promised he would free this guy called Ross Ulbricht. Now, Ross Ulbricht set up a website called Silk Road, which sold heroin, cocaine, all kinds of drugs online. And he was sentenced to prison in 2015. Now, for Trump to say, for some reason, the libertarians who don't think any drugs should be illegal want him released. And Trump saying that as president, he would release this guy who set up a massive operation to sell heroin online. It's just astonishing the degrees to which he'll pander. But it didn't seem to work. It didn't work out too well for Robert F. Kennedy either, as it turns out. And he was really hoping to get the libertarian vote. He was there too.
Okay. Cal, are you surprised to discover that apparently Americans are now using more marijuana than alcohol on a daily basis?
Well, that explains a lot of Congress, I guess, Matt. I'm always amazed at this and always have been. You only have one body. If your car breaks down, you can trade it in and get another car. But this is the only body you've got. And as you know, as one who doesn't inhale or even smoke marijuana or these other things, I am an incredible specimen of humanity and, as Marion knows, a great babe magnet. But I just don't know why people want to continue to do this. I mean, why would you want to smoke marijuana and overindulge in alcohol when it kills brain cells and makes you half unconscious, and we've seen what the consequences of drunk driving and driving while under the influence of drugs can and has and will do. It's the most amazing thing. We don't put foreign substances in our automobiles, but we put foreign substances in our bodies, and there are people who are behind this and promoting it. It's a mystery.
Have you noticed this, Marion, that there's more of a liking now for marijuana than alcohol in American society?
Oh, I think it's completely acceptable now. Cal, we should have a little offline chat about this, Cal. But I think, yeah, I mean, you can look at this in a number of ways. For starters, the relations of criminal activity, domestic violence, all those things are not the same. They don't apply in the same levels to marijuana as they do to alcohol abuse. The same physical damage to your health does not seem to apply so far from the tests that have been done to marijuana, marijuana versus alcohol. I just think like people have their own choices. They put McDonald's in their bodies, for God's sake. They put all kinds of junk in their bodies. Marijuana is moving towards being federally legal now. A big step was taken last month. It's legal for recreational and medicinal purposes in about 26 states or thereabouts, or 34 for medicinal. It's coming, and I think it's just a matter of choice.
Okay, Marion, today is the day that Ireland officially recognised the state of Palestine. How much notice do you think will there be in the United States of America of that, both at political level but also a corporate level, because the Israelis were trying to stir it yesterday by suggesting that particularly tech investment in Ireland would be impacted because of this belief that many people in the tech sector are sympathetic to Israel and won't like Ireland for recognising Palestine.
Yeah, there is a lot of resentment that I've come across and anger in the United States and in a couple of people I've spoken to in Washington who think that, they almost see it as being a disloyal act by Ireland, which they see as being a very, very close ally, to go out on such a limb against Israel, which, of course, the US is very much behind. It's a pretty messy situation here, and it's possible. We've seen donors pull out of Harvard and withdraw money, $40, $60, $80 million worth of funding because of the protests on campus. I think we'll have to wait and see how this unfolds. But I think that what America is doing at the moment, and I think the Biden administration's response to that appalling strike northwest of Gaza was just unbelievable. And what happened there is just so appalling.
Does the Biden administration have any influence over what Benjamin Netanyahu gets up to? Because Netanyahu comes out and apologises yesterday, a tragic accident, and they continue the bombardment of Rafah, which we should remember is an area which they forced all of the people out of northern Gaza into, telling them they would be safe down there, which was yet another atrocious lie. And yet, Joe Biden, a couple of months ago, tries to tell us, oh, there's going to be a ceasefire. No ceasefire. He threatens not to give them more armaments. They just continue on and on and on. Does Biden have zero influence over Netanyahu?
I think Biden's credibility has been really compromised on this. And it's, you know, every week he was coming out initially talking there'll be a ceasefire next week, there'll be a ceasefire next week. There's no ceasefire coming. I think everybody's pretty well accepted that now. I think that he really muddied things on the whole armaments, using it as leverage, and a lot of the Democrats wanted him to do it. He folded almost immediately on that. I think that he's just not leading on this effectively at all. I don't think he has any influence over Netanyahu, because Netanyahu can see he's a pushover. But I think also nobody does. And I think the biggest problem for Israel, and it has to be said that this did start with the October 7th attacks by Hamas. But Netanyahu has done more damage to Israel and caused it to become more isolated because of the appalling brutality and criminality in the way this war has been prosecuted.
Okay.
And I think that Biden has really mishandled this.
Okay, different question to you, Cal, to one that I've asked you in previous weeks. But if Donald Trump was to return as US president, how would American support for Israel in any way differ?
Well, I think you have to remember first, Matt, that during the Trump administration, there were the Abraham Accords. No other administration has been able to put together that kind of coalition of Muslim and Arab nations to make peace with Israel, not since Jimmy Carter did it with Egypt back in the 1970s. So I think there would be more of that. There was very serious talk up until the election that Joe Biden won, that Saudi Arabia might come on board if Trump got a second term. So I think that is a possibility as well. Look, with respect to Ireland and other countries who are recognizing a Palestinian state, what state would that be? Would that be all of Gaza and the West Bank? Do they want to return to the 1967 borders?
Yes.
Which are indefensible?
Sorry, Cal, just to clarify that is actually what our government has said. Yes, it believes the state of Palestine is according to the 1967 borders, which would mean that the illegally occupied settlements would actually have to be returned by the Israeli settlers.
Well, that would make Israel indefensible, and the terrorists would wipe out the Jewish state, which has been their stated objective since 1948. That isn't going to happen.
What do you make of that, Marion?
Well, I think it would be extraordinarily difficult for that to happen, not realistically. I think that there are some problematic issues with this, because first of all, I think the first thing that has to happen is Netanyahu, and I don't see this happening soon, must be removed as prime minister or resign. But I think that there have to be, the US for too long has talked the talk on a two-state solution but done nothing to advance it. And I think people have just stopped believing America on this, and that it has lost credibility on this, because it's just a way of maintaining the status quo. But I think that getting back to 1967 will be hugely problematic, absolutely.
Thank you, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.